Today is Friday, October 23rd. What to know about the final face-to-face showdown between President Trump and Joe Biden, and where they're taking their campaigns next. Also, the very first medicine approved to treat COVID-19. And another Colorado wildfire is forcing hundreds from their homes and breaking records. Plus, which popular sporting events were just canceled, how a famous missing painting showed up after 6 decades, and the type of political ad you may actually want to watch. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The presidential race is now really in a final sprint to the finish. President Trump and his Democratic rival Joe Biden came face-to-face for the last time before Election Day and made their final pitches to voters. Last night's debate was a little calmer than the one 3 weeks ago. It seems the new muted microphone policy and/or agreements worked because there were definitely fewer interruptions this time around, and you got to hear more from each candidate. Still, there were a lot of tense moments as the candidates clashed on several key issues. First of all, coronavirus. President Trump said we're rounding a corner with the help of treatments, a vaccine is coming soon, and that Americans have learned to live with COVID-19. He emphasized the importance of not shutting down the country and cited mental health issues and job losses caused by lockdowns. Former Vice President Biden argued that people have not learned to live with it, they've learned to die with it, since the pandemic has claimed more than 223,000 American lives so far. Biden focused on wanting to give more resources to states, schools, and businesses to be able to open, but with better safety protocols. And he endorsed wearing a mask to help save lives. Next, the candidates talked about foreign affairs. Trump accused Biden of corruption, saying he and his family made money from his time as vice president, especially pointing to Biden's son, Hunter, and his business dealings in Ukraine. But Biden promised, quote, "I have not taken a penny from any foreign source ever in my life." Biden also accused Trump of getting too cozy with American adversaries, like North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un. To that, Trump said the fact that the U.S. is not in a war with North Korea right now proves his international strategy has worked. They went on to discuss issues including race, immigration, healthcare, and the climate. Of course, the campaigns are only picking up speed from this point out. Today, Joe Biden plans to speak near his home in Delaware, and he'll visit Pennsylvania tomorrow. President Trump is headed to Florida today, and tomorrow he'll hold rallies in North Carolina, Ohio, and Wisconsin. By the way, more than 47 million Americans have already cast their ballots. For everyone else, there are 11 days to go. Election Day is November 3rd. For the second day in a row, American intelligence officials put out a warning about a foreign country interfering in the U.S. election. This time, an advisory came from the FBI and Homeland Security's Cybersecurity Agency. It says Russian hackers have been targeting dozens of state and local governments in the U.S. in recent days, and they were actually able to steal data from at least 2 servers. That means they got network passwords, IT instructions, and vendor information. But so far, intelligence officials say they do not believe the integrity of the election has been compromised. In other words, hackers haven't done anything that would actually let them change votes. So the warning was really put out there for local authorities to strengthen their firewalls once again. So far, there haven't been any immediate repercussions for Russia. But there is an update about actions against Iran. Remember, we told you yesterday Iranians were sending registered Democrats threatening emails. Well, since then, the Treasury Department announced sanctions against 5 Iranian groups for trying to influence American elections. The 2 largest wildfires in Colorado history are now burning at the same time and growing at a record pace. The latest one is called the East Troublesome Fire. In it, more than 170,000 acres, or 265 square miles, has burned so far. That makes it the 2nd largest fire on record in Colorado's history. The National Park Service had to shut down Rocky Mountain National Park because of it, and nearly 500 people were told to leave their homes in areas like Grand Lake. So far, the fire is only 5% contained. The problem is Colorado is dealing with hot, dry, windy weather, making it difficult for firefighters to make progress on this one or others burning in the state. And by the way, the largest wildfire in Colorado history is still burning a little further north in the Fort Collins area. And there's a concern those 2 fires could end up meeting each other and becoming 1 big megafire. However, Colorado could get some relief this weekend. Things are expected to get much colder, and there's even snow in the forecast. The cause of both of these fires is still under investigation. The FDA has now approved the first official COVID-19 treatment. Regulators gave remdesivir the green light. That's the antiviral drug that's given to hospitalized COVID-19 patients through an IV. It probably sounds familiar since patients have been able to get it since the spring, but it was only authorized on an emergency basis. Well, now this new approval means it will be around for the long haul for any COVID-19 patients over the age of 12. Now, we should note the FDA does not say remdesivir cuts the risk of dying of COVID-19, but the National Institutes of Health has found it can cut recovery time down from 15 days to 10 days on average. Blood donations are desperately needed around the country right now. The Red Cross and other blood collection groups say their supply is at critically low levels. They blame COVID-19, wildfires, and recent hurricanes. A lot of the problem is more than 80% of the blood collected by the Red Cross comes from blood drives, but many of those have had to be canceled this year. Bottom line, if you ever thought about donating blood, now might be the time. We added a link in our episode notes where you can find a blood drive or donation center near you. More news is coming up, but first, thanks to our sponsor today, Stitch Fix. Wouldn't you love it if every clothing store you shopped at already understood your loves, hates, and don't even think about it items? Well, Stitch Fix is focused on making that happen. Stitch Fix is a personal styling company that brings you the world of fashion, making it easy and fun. You just set up your profile online, and they'll deliver great looks personalized for you in your colors, styles, and budget. Then you keep and pay for only what you want. I recently got a fantastic, cute and comfy sweater I'm wearing all the time now, along with new workout pants I can also wear around the house. I also love that no subscription is required and shipping, returns, and exchanges are free. And they offer something for everyone, including women, men, and kids. So get started today at stitchfix.com/newsworthy, and you'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/newsworthy for 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. stitchfix.com/newsworthy. Now, back to the news. A group of Uber drivers in California is suing, well, Uber. And it's about politics. The driver's class action lawsuit says the company has been sending them a barrage of in-app messages asking them to support a measure on California's ballot. Proposition 22 would let Uber keep classifying its drivers as gig workers rather than employees with benefits and certain requirements. Uber wants its drivers to vote yes, and apparently it has repeatedly messaged them about the consequences of the measure failing. The drivers say that's illegal political coercion. So in the lawsuit, they want Uber to be forced to lay off the messages and pay $260 million in penalties. Uber is pushing back, though. It calls this a, quote, absurd lawsuit. It adds the vast majority of drivers support Prop 22 and want the freedom to stay independent contractors. Stay tuned. The NHL has called off its next Winter Classic and All-Star Game. Both are a big deal for fans. The Winter Classic is an outdoor hockey game that usually happens in a football or baseball stadium. And the All-Star Game is, as its name suggests, a matchup among the league's star players. They were both supposed to happen in January, but the NHL says there's just too much uncertainty with COVID-19. Plus, it doesn't want to hold these events until fans can actually attend. So they were postponed until 2022. Though the NHL still plans to start its next regular season in a few months. Target has set up a reservation system of sorts for holiday shopping. Instead of physically waiting in line to get into the store, you can now hop in line virtually on Target's website. The retailer will then let you know when it's your turn to shop. This is really designed for big days when lines form outside the store. That does happen lately since Target is limiting how many people can be inside at the same time during the pandemic, and lines could get even longer during peak holiday shopping season, think Black Friday. Other stores have also tried out similar reservation systems like Best Buy, Williams-Sonoma, West Elm, and Chico's. A famous painting that's been missing for 60 years has finally resurfaced. It's by American artist Jacob Lawrence, and it's part of a series of paintings he did in the mid-1950s. The rest were on display at a New York City museum, but there was one empty frame to signify the missing piece. Well, as the New York Times reports, that caught the attention of a sharp-eyed visitor. She realized the others looked a lot like a painting she'd seen at her neighbor's house. So she gave her neighbors a heads up, and sure enough, the painting she saw was the missing artwork. They apparently bought the painting at a 1960 Christmas charity auction, but they've now loaned it to the museum, where it's included in the exhibit. The big stars are coming together this weekend in hopes of giving Black businesses a boost and inspiring new ones. Black Entrepreneurs Day is an online special that will be live streamed tomorrow. Shark Tank star and FUBU CEO Damon John is hosting. And he's going to be having conversations with guest stars like Shaquille O'Neal, Gabrielle Union, and Jamie Foxx. Already, some Black entrepreneurs have applied for grant money, and at the event, 9 of them will be awarded $225,000 each to help fund their businesses. Black Entrepreneurs Day will stream for free on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter starting at 7 Eastern tomorrow evening. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Feel Good Friday, where we bring you one extra feel-good or positive news story before the weekend. And today's story is actually about politics bringing people together. Yeah, you heard me right. The two rival candidates in Utah are appearing in a campaign ad together. Republican Spencer Cox and Democrat Chris Peterson are both running for governor, but they wanted to show that civility still exists in politics. So they bought some airtime to remind people that it's okay to disagree without hating each other. They said they can debate the issues, but don't need to degrade each other's character. The ad is getting a lot of positive feedback. If you want to see it for yourself, you'll find a link to the video in today's show notes. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day, and of course for sharing the Newsworthy with your friends, family, and coworkers. We so appreciate you. We'll be back with our special edition Saturday episode tomorrow, and then another news roundup on Monday. Until then, have a great day.